Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
I'm a good friend and neighbor. This is Phil Nee. Hoping all your trails are happy. We'll talk again later. I'll be back with Community Conversation on the Morning Show today in just a few minutes. The news at 9 from ABC is sponsored by the Phoenix Center. Family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, video games, and their legendary pizza. We have received exactly 1 inch of rain. The time is 9 o'clock. We're at 39 degrees in Richland Center.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump on Capitol Hill this morning will try to get Republicans to pass a multi-trillion dollar budget package that some in his own party say spends too much money. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson.
This is a big week for his agenda, for all of us. We've been working on reconciliation for more than a year, as you all know. And it all comes down to these final details.
In the bill, there are cuts to Medicaid, food stamps, and green energy programs. Going higher, the average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage, now over 7%, says ABC News chief business correspondent Rebecca Jarvis.
That surge follows last week's downgrade of the U.S. credit outlook by Moody's, causing investors to look for safer investments.
On top of tornado cleanup in many states overnight and last weekend, more than 30 million Americans are under new weather alerts. A fourth of 10 New Orleans jail escapees has been captured. Investigators believe that they had help. This is ABC News. A medical helicopter was forced to make an emergency landing last night in a residential area of White Marsh Township, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia. Brad Ingram says he saw it.
The propeller on the side fell off, and so that was in one yard on the way up, and when it was kind of going this direction, it must have turned off its engine, and it kind of turned around and landed in a person's front yard.
Officials say all three people aboard the chopper are okay. Bad storm this week proved to be a test for one Texas town.
Voters in the tiny town of Gordon passed bonds in 2021 to renovate the town's only school and to add a tornado shelter to the campus. On Sunday, as severe weather moved in,
we went to the school. There's a storm shelter there, and a lot of the community people came there.
Gordon High School Athletic Director Mike Reed.
And that's exactly kind of when it hit and lifted the roof off the school.
The school and 30 homes in Gordon were damaged, but only four people suffered injuries, none of them serious. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryout from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
High temps in the low 50s today with rain that could total an inch and a half to 2 inches in some areas today. East winds 15 to 30 and gusty. Blustery with occasional showers tonight, a low of 44. Wednesday 53 with off and on light rain and drizzle. Wednesday night any drizzle ending, mostly cloudy and a low of 43. Thursday partly sunny, not as cool, maybe some stray sprinkles, a high of 62. Friday partly sunny and a high of 62 degrees.
Dealing with the loss of a loved one is never easy. I'm Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Many families have found pre-planning can help ease the burden of loss. Anyone can create a plan at any stage in life, and you can make changes at any time. Pre-planning is free of charge at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Please contact us to schedule a time to meet with a member of our staff to discuss your options and design your plan in person. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home in Spring Green. Want to give your house a new look? Whether it's one room or a whole house, we can help. From the industry's best Karastan carpet to exceptional hardwood floors by Mirage, or even if it's vinyl plank, we have it. Want a new kitchen or bath? We can help with that too. Quality products and quality service from a company you can trust. Wirtz Floor and Home.
Howdy, folks. The 66th Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals are riding into the Richland County Fairgrounds June 13th, 14th, and 15th. Tickets are on sale now through June 13th at Creative Layers, 142 South Central Avenue in Richland Center. Don't miss June Dairy Days and the Rodeo Parade Saturday morning at 10:30, plus Cowboy Church Sunday at 8:30. For more information, call Kenda at 475-1886. Saddle up! The finals are coming, and Richland Center's ready to rodeo. Yeehaw!
Hello, everyone. Brian from Walsh's. Everyone knows we are a steel dealer. We carry everything that Steel's offers, and now we carry the Steel zero-turn lawn mowers as well. Six different models to choose from 42 to 60-inch decks. Homeowner motors have Briggs & Stratton, and the professional ones have Kawasaki motors. And also, we just received another shipment of the popular MS-500i chainsaw. So stop in at our Richland Center or Muscadet stores to see these items, and as always, we appreciate your business.
WRCO Studios, proudly sponsored by the Richland Family Restaurant. Fill up with something delicious.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show Studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. Our morning show today on WRCO Radio, we focus on Ithaca Schools and talk about some of the great things going on there here during the first part of the show. Julie Severance is here, Food Service Director. We also have Peg Durkin, who's an art educator in the Ithaca District, and Paula Boland as well, a member of the staff. She'll be talking about the safety committee as well. So we'll put Julie on the hot seat first, because Julie's got to start cooking here pretty soon. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you in the studio. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the food program, and I guess more specifically, the summer program is coming up.
Sure. So this is the first summer that Ithaca will be participating in the summer food feeding program. And the program actually started in 1968, so it's been around for quite some time, and I believe it was ratified in maybe 1975. So it's a USDA program, and it is simply there to make sure that students are fed during the summer months when they are not in school. They saw, whoever back then saw a great need, you know, kids were coming to school hungry, and they were fed there at school, but then when they went home for the summer, a lot of kids were going hungry, and they had the resources to improve that, so they put together this program. And it's a program that really any organization can apply for. So say you're a church, or you're a community rec program or something like that. As long as you have a kitchen and a place that can feed children 18 and under, you can apply for this program.
Okay. So it's starting up soon. Do people need to pre-register here for it?
Yes. So Mr. Adam Hess has done a lot of work on this, and it is live now. If it's 9 o'clock, it just went live. So we are pushing it out on social media. We're emailing all of the folks who already showed some interest in the program, but I believe he's also emailing everyone on the Ithaca list. It'll be on Facebook and Instagram, and so anywhere that you would go to receive your information about Ithaca, you'll be receiving this today, so people should be looking out for it.
Tell me about the program. How frequently are you going to be serving up meals, and how can people get them then?
Sure. So our first day of serving is going to be Wednesday, June 25th, and once we get the results of this survey, folks are going to be telling us which weeks they're going to be coming to pick up the food. And we'll be serving throughout the summer. I believe our last day is the second to last week in August. So every Wednesday, you can drive your car up to the elementary door of Ithaca School. And myself or Marla will come and bring a bag of food to your car. You load up your car, and you're taking 5 days worth of food home for your child. So we need to know how many children are in your household, everyone 18 or younger, and you can get free food for them for 5 days every week during the summertime. So we'll be doing that from every Wednesday from 9:30 to 5:30. So it's a good window. We hope that most people will be able to come during those hours.
Can you give us some examples of the types of food that will be in the bag?
Yes, I'm trying very hard to make sure that the kids are actually going to eat this food. So I'm trying to put some favorites in there. So we'll have a variety of foods that are fresh and frozen and just refrigerated. There are a lot of guidelines around this from the USDA. So there are things that I have to put in those bags. So folks are going to be getting a lot of milk, which is great in Wisconsin. And fruits and vegetables, of course. But we'll have things in there like chicken patties and chicken fingers and, you know, some fan favorites, if you will. I found a little personal pan pizza that I'll be putting in there. And included with your bag every week will be a set of instructions. All of these things can actually be cooked in the microwave. So that, you know, this is not labor intensive at all. It's meant to be good, wholesome food that you can feed your children quickly throughout the summer.
And if children are, let's say their parents are working during the day, it sounds like it's things that they could also make pretty easily.
Then. Absolutely. If you trust them to use a microwave, they should be able to make anything in that bag, yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's say that you have three or four children in the school district. Is the bag bigger, or do you get that many bags? Or how does
yes.
it work, Julie?
So let's say that you have two children. You would be picking up enough food for both of those children every week. So, you know, if you have five kids, you'll be picking up. So some families may be picking up a lot of food. So I want people to think about that as they're coming to pick this up. We will not be packing the cars. We will simply bring the food out, and it'll be in bags or in a box or something. And then, you know, we will give it to folks, and then they will pack their own cars, and then we'll take the cart back, you know, to use it for our next patron. But so some folks may be going home with a lot of free food, which is really nice.
What if a family's going to be on vacation for a week? Do they need to let you know those dates?
That is a great question, Phil. Yes. So on this survey that went live today, we are asking folks what weeks they will not be picking up food. I know that's not easy as we're looking through an entire summer, but you know, some folks do have things planned already. And so I would encourage people, if you do know that you are not going to come and pick up the food, please put it on that survey. The biggest reason is the school district does not get reimbursed from the state if people don't pick up the food. So I'm going to say that again because it's very, very important. If you don't come and pick up your food, Ithaca does not get reimbursed for that food. And, you know, that's tough if folks don't come and pick it up. So if you sign up, please come and pick up your bag, and then we can put that check mark, and then the state knows that you've come and picked it up, and then we can get reimbursed for that food.
This program is made possible by a grant then from the state. Is that correct?
Yes, in a way, yes. So it's just a very, very large USDA program, and I believe, I don't know all the facts about this, I believe that they probably distribute money to each state, you know, in order to put this program in. You do have to apply for the program. That makes me think that perhaps there's only a certain amount of money, you know, and they distribute it that way. Again, I'm not quite sure, but that's what would make sense to me.
This program will continue then, you said June 25th, and it will continue till the start of school then.
Huh? Yes. Yep. So we are not running the program during the 2 weeks of summer school because we found that most of the kids who had signed up for summer feeding were also going to summer school. So that's great. We'll be feeding them there anyway. So, but yes, it'll start the week after summer school.
That's exciting. Has it been a good year for the food program?
It's been a great year. This is my first year in the position, and I've had a lot of fun. And it's been great because I'd been at Ithaca for 2 years before that in a different role, so I knew the kids, and I've just had some really great interactions with them, and I've had a lot of it's brought me a lot of joy this year. Yeah.
What's the number one most favoritist lunch that you serve? What's number one right now?
Yeah, so it would be our chicken patty deluxe. So that is a chicken patty on a bun, and then I let them customize it with lettuce, tomato, cheese, and pickles. And that's a huge hit. Yeah.
That sounds good.
It is.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if it's extra bun, special sometimes. Pig, it's on a pretzel bun. Yes,
it's they usually run out, and the kids get pretty upset. She's done a fantastic job with the program.
I'm sure. You know, and Peg, to be honest, you know, the food at school was always kind of the brunt of the jokes at any school in the day.
Yes,
but things have really improved, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. Kids are really excited, and the choices they have, you know, it's been, I've had a lot of compliments the kids will talk about. They're excited about lunch. If you can get them through the day, get them to lunch, you can get them through the rest of the day. So Julie has done a fantastic job this year.
Do you still have tots or not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
tots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Do the kids fight over those too, or they divvy them up? Or?
Not as much. They really like the potato wedges. Ah. I mean, tots are good. Yeah. You know, tots are never going to go away, but we've got other options too.
Like a Napoleon Dynamite moment.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yes.
That's where I got that. Right. So do you serve breakfast as well?
We do serve breakfast. Yes. As a matter of fact, they're eating cheese omelets right now while I'm here. So yeah. And we serve the elementary kids down in the multipurpose room, and then middle school and high school, you know, come through the regular lunch line for breakfast. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have to think, Julie, that it's really like putting a puzzle together, because you're like constantly serving food and cleaning up pretty much all day, aren't you?
Yes. And that's one of the parts that I love about it. That's how my brain works. I like to figure out, okay, when do I have to start this in order for it to be done in time, and who's eating this? And I have all these lists and little post-it notes everywhere. And so I enjoy that part, thankfully. but I would like to give a shout out to my team, Marla, Diane, and Patty, who I just can't say enough about. They're just the greatest women, and I really rely on them every day. And I'm really blessed to work with them.
We talk about people, like every student connects with somebody, hopefully, in the school, you know, and I'm sure there are some students that connect with you and the staff as well.
Yeah, for sure. There are many kids who we connect with every day. And like Peg said, you know, if food, it brings people together, and you see that at school too. And it's an important part of the day. Kids really enjoy it. And we've made a lot of really good connections there, I think.
When is the first lunch hour? When does that start?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. Yep. So yeah. Okay.
Yep. Well, she does have a number one fan.
Who's the number one fan?
That would be Kyle Kelly.
Kyle Kelly.
Yes.
Who's a member of the staff?
He is.
Yes.
How he wants her to be acknowledged for this masterpieces she's putting in front of him every day, and
and he takes both choices. Not
Mr.
Just
Kelly.
Choice one.
Yes, Mr. Kelly eats lunch every day, and he takes both choices every day, and he is the most excited person. About school lunch. It's just, it makes me smile every day.
Oh, man. So he has to buy 2 lunch tickets every day then.
He does.
Right.
And he does it willingly. So, yes. Yep.
Well, he's well fed. Now, does he get a summer program lunch then or not?
I don't know. I'm not sure if he's going to be around this summer or not.
I don't know if he's in summer school program, but he probably would if he knew he was cooking. So, yeah, I would guess.
If you ever have leftovers, you know who will clean them up.
Right, exactly. Yes. I just take him down the middle school hallway. Yes.
So, all that info is getting out there right now about the Ithaca summer lunch program, Julie. And people just need to read up about it and go from there.
And if they have any questions, just call the main office. And if Miss Sheila doesn't know the answer, she'll come and find me, and I'm happy to help. So
wonderful. Well, thanks for coming along.
Yes, thanks for having me, Phil. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate all you do. We got to let you get to that 11 o'clock lunch.
I got to go make walking tacos.
Julie Severance, our guest in this portion of the show here from WRCO Radio. Let's move over to Paula Boland as well, who's a member of the Ithaca staff. And we're going to talk a little bit about the safety committee. Paula, can you tell us what that entails?
Well, when I started at Ithaca, they were all these committees and that. They were like, they asked if I would like to join any, and since my kids went to Weston and that, I had a little background in some safety things and how I think it's very important for schools to be on top of these things. And so I just joined, and it was me and the administrator at that time, so there was 2 members. So I got to have a lot of information, and then we kind of grew to another person and another person, and then it's still kind of a small committee in that, but our numbers continue to grow, but we reach out and we ask a lot of questions to the staff because we need input, because with a K-12 or pre-K-12 building and that, we have a lot of age ranges, so we need a lot of information so we can do our exercises that reach all the children and at their level that they need it also. So
it's kind of a work in progress, it sounds like.
It's always a work in progress in that, and we do some training. We are able to go to a couple conferences now where we bring back just tons of information and that's helped us through our exercises, and working with law enforcement has been absolutely wonderful. They've been very supportive and a lot of good feedback from them.
Does law enforcement come and do some presentations from time to time?
Well, we do 2 exercises with them every year, and Mike Siz is actually a member of our safety committee, so he's almost at every single meeting and just helps us along that part of it as well in that. So
it's important, and do you feel that the school is a safer place than it was a few years ago?
I do in that. We have a lot of things in place. The law enforcement uses kind of our school as an example in that, because we have kind of a progressive stance on the safety in that, and like we have reunification things in place, our totes, we have 4 totes already ready to go. Hopefully we'll never ever use them and that, but we have them in different locations, and we practice one that we stay right in our school. And it's just nice to have this extra input, because like our committee is small, but we need a lot of voices, because something we might not see, someone else can be like, hey, why don't we try this? And we just would like more people to join our committee.
What about students? How do they be a part of it, or do they participate in the committee?
They're not part of the committee in that, but I always use my classroom as that too, so I ask my students a lot of information. Whenever there's exercise or drill in that, I ask how they felt about it, what their input is. I use my own kids all the time at home and that. I said, what if we did this with you guys? How do you think that would go over? And the students are absolutely wonderful when we do these exercises. They step up. They have been leaders. It's just fun to watch how the students are reacting in that, because they want to learn this stuff, and it's not just for the school. They take this stuff outside of school, and they can use it when they're shopping, when they're at college, when their own families, and how to just be alert and keep themselves safe in that or any situation.
I think it's really cool about this whole evolution with what Paula and Julie Thompson have been very key in helping us out, is creating different levels for different situations. You know, used to just have lockdowns and then people would be miscommunicating. Well, what's going on? Now there are different holds and different categories. So now we're in a better communication. We've been so much, she's made it so much more simplistic that staff isn't confused. And they've opened the doors with getting us walkie-talkies, ways to communicate with one another, not closing down the whole school, just parts of it. If you had a medical hold, a student with a situation. So they've done a fantastic job of making it more cohesive, making it more easier to understand what a situation is just by their hard work, and then going up and beyond. What happens if this, and you know, taking all the scenarios, what do we do? Because it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. There's so many different, it's not just about, you know, school shootings. It's also about the safety of other students. What if you have a student that's having a bad day and you have to close down a part of the school, or a student that has a medical situation? So it's, they've done a phenomenal job of organizing it and pretty much leading the charge for the school.
It's important to be proactive, isn't it, Peg?
Absolutely. You do. You never know, you know, all these case scenarios, especially with a small school and a shared staff. It's not like you have just a high school and an elementary and a middle school that are separate. You have them all together. What if the kids are out on the playground? You know, what do you do? And so they've done a phenomenal job of just being able to get us to communicate better with one another and having us prepared. Practice, practice, practice. And we have to practice. It's just, it's kind of the way things are now.
Paula, do you have different code words for different situations so staff is clear on what's going on?
Well, we use the I Love You Guys Foundation and their framework in that. So, yes, it's like a hold is just we have to get out of the hallways and that because something's going on. So just go inside your classrooms or the closest classroom and just stay put until you can, the incident is resolved or we can move on with our day. Secure is we just have to stay inside the building so things run as normal and that we just can't go outside because something's happening outside our building. Then there's lockdown, which some people don't like that word at all, but it's just something's happening, and then we practice for these situations. And along with hold, we actually have a medical hold, and we have a medical team right inside our school where they respond, and it's actually nice to get feedback from them, from the emergency response people, because we, as soon as they come on site, we hand them a piece of paper and they know their vitals, they know exactly what's been going on, the time frames and everything else. And so they've gave us good feedback, like we're doing things the right way when we do practice this stuff or when we have an incident, and that we know that we're sending that student, the staff, off with the right care that we could give them at that time until the emergency people got there. And then there's just like normal ones, like the tornado ones and everything else, but it's all built around the I Love You Guys Foundation and that. So, I mean, other schools are incorporating this. So it's like you go from our building to another school building. A lot of school buildings are using the I Love You Guys Foundation.
If there is an incident at another area school, too, I think you guys are made aware of that. You kind of go on high alert when that happens, don't you?
Yeah, we just like, when Mount Horeb had theirs, we kind of just did a secure thing because you just never know. We just kind of kept our building secure at that time where we just didn't let people outside until we knew that things were kind of settled in that area. And it can be an inconvenience to people, but in the big scheme of things and that, we're just keeping everyone safe as best we can because, again, we don't, with all this technology, we don't have some information. Until we get that information, we're just making the best judgment calls as we can to keep everyone safe.
Yeah, I remember after the incident at Mount Horeb, they had just had some sort of training and things like that and kept probably a lot more students safe as a result.
Yes, and then Julie Thompson and I, when we went to one of our trainings, we got to actually sit on a panel and listen to the Mount Horeb emergency people, school personnel, and all that. And it's just, you're almost speechless in that because people step up when they have to and that, and it's just absolutely amazing and that some people can react to that stuff and not everyone can and that. So, and we understand that when we set up these drills, like it's okay if you can't do this at that time, but it's better to understand that now instead of when, if there's an actual drill or actual incident, then we can know that we have to help you too. And someone will step in for you because like I said, you just never know sometimes.
No, you don't. Got to be proactive. We'll talk more with the staff from Ithaca Schools in just a moment. Julie Severance here earlier, Paula Boland, Peg Durkin. We're going to talk about Peg's upcoming art program as well. We'll talk about that when we return with the morning show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Saxonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary, just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
Join American Legion Post number 350 for a special veteran show on Friday, May 31st at the Cal Center inside Reedsburg High School. The show starts at 1 p.m. Come early and enjoy a hot pork sandwich served up starting at 11 a.m. All to support our local veterans and post number 350. That's Friday, May 31st. Great food, powerful stories, and hometown pride. Support those who served. American Legion Post 350.
Take in the great outdoors and take along insurance coverage you can count on. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. We know that rush of freedom you can only get outdoors. Maybe you're taking on the trails in your ATV or zipping around your favorite course in your golf cart. At State Farm, we understand your passion. Whether your recreational vehicle is an off-road vehicle, a snowmobile, or a travel trailer, we can cover you. Our State Farm recreational vehicle insurance is designed with your needs in mind. And the premium may be less than you think. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Does your employer offer 6 weeks of paid time off in the first year? Rockwell Automation does. They also offer a $2,500 sign-on bonus, a 401k with company match, annual bonuses for all employees, unlimited referral bonuses, paid paternal leave, a tuition reimbursement program, and plenty of room for growth and advancement. Rockwell Automation isn't your typical manufacturing experience. It's a great place to work because of the great people who work there. That's been true since 1971. Now, the team is growing, and Rockwell Automation is looking for new talent. First shift positions start at over $22 an hour, second shift over $24 an hour, and that's on top of all these incredible benefits. So what are you waiting for? Explore opportunities today at rockwellautomation.com/careers and search for Richland Center. Or just stop in during walk-in Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity, where we meet you. Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must. And Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Welcome back to the morning show. We're talking to staff members of Ithaca Schools, earlier Julie Severance, and now Paula Boland and Peg Durkin take center stage here today.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on here. This is the time of year when you put together a really nice end-of-the-year art show. How's that going?
Yeah, we just finished that up. That was last week, Tuesday. It's kind of a long preparation because we use it in the commons area, the lunchroom area.
Yeah.
And to prepare it takes probably about 4 or 5 months. Because you want to get a couple pieces from each student, and it's K-12, and it's a small area, so we've got these kind of rolling mesh kind of dividers that you can pull in. Unfortunately, they're a half an inch too tall to get through the door frame, so you got to tip them to get them through the door frame and get them out into the commons area. And we had a really nice show this year. K-12, like I said, probably 2-3 pieces per student through the whole school, and then had a lot of the high school students. And this has probably been one of my best years with high school art students. They just did a phenomenal job.
Now, that's saying a lot, because how many years have you been at Ithaca?
Number 32. I'm the old sea hag on the staff. So, yeah, it's 32 years, and we just have this an incredible group of juniors and seniors that a lot of them weren't able to take art their freshman, sophomore year because it really doesn't work with their schedule. But by the time they're juniors and seniors, they're able to come in, and I'm just like, where have you been? This is amazing, the stuff that they've done. I'm just so pleased. And some of them, you know, and we've got a lot of boys too. And some of the boys that are really proud of themselves because they didn't think they had it in them. And like, if you focus and if you just follow technique, it's amazing what you can accomplish. And some of them have done just an incredible job.
When someone comes in and says that, like myself, I mean, I'm not very artistic, but does everybody have an area where they can excel?
I think if you just follow directions and you just kind of, you know, as Casey Pomering would always say, just respect the process. Yeah. You know, you just have to kind of follow the process, give yourself some time and some grace. You know, a lot of kids get frustrated and they want to just give up. And I'm like, no, let's just work together. And a lot of times I'll sit down and work with them a little bit. And then you can all of a sudden see that turn in that moment where they're starting to get it, the light bulb moment. And like, oh, that's how you do it. And then when you feel that and you see that and they get it, then they start to show a lot of excitement and pride. And then they're excited to come to class and not so frustrated. I think when you're just like having math anxiety when you're little, and you had that moment and you couldn't figure out the problem, but you didn't have the right, you know, guidance to get you through, you kind of block that out. It happens with art as well. You know, somebody said my, you know, kitty drawing or my drawing of my mom was really ugly, and so I never liked it because one time when I was little, it didn't work out. Well, you know, you can get past that, move forward, and have a little confidence and faith in yourself and just kind of go with the process. And it's amazing what these kids can accomplish.
Can you give us some examples of some things that wowed you this year?
I would say Randy and Holly, Randy Picardo and Holly King. I kind of pushed both of them because they've been in independent art for a while. And I said, okay, you two, let's do a small mural for the school. But I don't like painting on walls because you got the drip factor, you got texture. So let's paint on a piece of AC plywood and let's attach it to a wall. And then you can work it on in here and then have it 4 feet by 8 feet and put it somewhere in the school. We thought it was going to be right by the art room. And I kind of put them up to the test and said, let's do something kind of cool. Let's use a bulldog, but use an art style. So Randy chose a bulldog in a Renaissance style. So it's a bulldog sitting amongst pillars and sculptures. And Holly chose a bulldog in the Starry Night Van Gogh style. So we have two of these. They did it all on their own, and they turned out phenomenal. And it kind of really inspired the rest of the kids, because they're like, wow, these guys are doing it on their own. And now they're both, one's up next to the office and one's up in the commons. And so it's kind of neat, because now kids are getting excited. Maybe I can do that. And, you know, just crediting, looking at the Bolin family. I look at Paula's children. Jaden's another one who's going to be a superstar in art. And even Brayson, once in a while, when he's in my classroom. So it's a lot of fun, because it's a connected thing at Ithaca. You know, you wear a lot of hats, but the families and the kids wear a lot of hats, too. Those kids are the ones that are involved in the student councils and the art clubs and the softballs and the baseballs and doing all the extras. Those are the ones that keeps the doors open and the wheels running, are those kind of kids. And the Bolin kids are a wonderful addition to our school.
You have all levels of grades, don't
I
you?
I do. And I have K through 12. And so if the kids don't like me when they're young, they're stuck with me. I do have a funny story. This went way back. This was about 15, 20 years ago. I had a young kindergarten that was not jiving with me. He did not like me at all. So I walked back with him to his class and asked his kindergarten teacher to come out in the hallway with me. I needed to have a little chit chat with him. And he looked up at me and I said, "Hey, guess who your art teacher is next year?" And he looked at me, he goes, "You?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Guess who's what year after that?" "You?" And I said, "Yeah." And the year after that, he's like, "Oh, you?" I said, "Yeah, this could go one way or another, buddy. We could have a long 12 years, or we could be the best of friends." And he ended up winning the art award his senior year when he graduated. He turned out to be one of my best artists. And that would have been Calix Wheaton, Monica and Terry Wheaton's son. And so it was a lot of fun. You know, it's one of those things, you kind of go through your learning curve with the kids. As time goes on, they get to know you. And I think they really buy in when they know you're going to be with them for this, you know, for the 12-year journey, 13-year journey, because it's kindergarten through that time. And you work with one another. And there's tough years, and there's years that they kind of pull through. It's fun to watch that progression, especially through middle school, watching how they were in elementary school. And then middle school, they're kind of going off on their own. They're in different classrooms, and how they start to kind of really buy in.
What's your favorite part of the art to teach?
I really like teaching painting. The kids really, really enjoy painting. But I like sculpture, too, because that's the one the dudes like. Dudes love to take objects and take, like, carving knives and either cut themselves or cut the wood or whatever. But they like that. I always find a lot of the boys that really like, I like working outdoors, they loved to sculpture. So that's a fun class to teach. But my favorite medium of working in is painting. And my actual degree of study was drawing. So I've evolved as well, because that was the cheapest thing I could afford when I was at UW-Madison was pencil and paper.
So looking at the future, are there any changes coming up or some things that you'd like to see?
I guess we're adding sixth grade next year. This is the first time we've had, our class sizes have gotten smaller. So there's some opportunities for some gaps. So now we're going to have sixth grade and middle school next year. For each one, we'll be separated into two different semesters. So we'll be adding that next year. Kind of fun thing happening, working with another Mr. Nee. He and I have just started, this just happened by accident. He's got a new plasma cutter. And so we're going to try to work on some designs together. And he's going to be cutting, like, monograms and things, wall hangings, using this new plasma cutter.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, we were able to come up with a design, and working with him, it's going to be a lot of fun, because it's something where we can design a few things together, and then he can actually put it into motion, where the Efficacy Fund was able to purchase a plasma cutter for the school, and using that to cut metal, so you can use a little art with a little bit of shop.
And I know what I'm getting for my birthday then.
I wonder if he's got a few test pieces he's got to get rid of first.
He might. We talk about, and I know you were involved in athletics too, we talk about the reason why some students come to school is, you know, maybe sports, but I'm guessing you see that a lot in the art program as well, don't you?
Yes. There's a lot of kids that they might excel in some areas and maybe not. And some of them, I've found a lot of students that aren't maybe that academically, they do really well in art, and it gives them a lot of confidence, and it gives them a lot of self-esteem that they might not have otherwise. A lot of the kids that, you know, I'll actually even get notes from kids that were foreign exchange students. I never got to do art, and because I got to take an art class, or we learn in Germany just art history, but we didn't actually get to do art. So I got to take a class, and then you'll get a note from then 5-6 years later, hey, I really liked your class. I'm using it now in this particular capacity. So it is, it's great to see some of those kids that, you know, may not have like the, you know, they're academically or athletically, but they can come in and excel in the art room. And it's always open to anybody who wants to come in and give it a try.
Paula, go ahead.
Sorry, just PEG has the impact on so many students in that. Like, I know my students, and I have an exchange student as well this year in that. And when he was figuring out his class list and that, Jaden's like, you have to take art and that. And he's like, well, I've never done art before. And that, like, no, you have to be with Dirk and that. And my kids just love being in her classroom and that. And she's just inspired so many people, and she's there for everyone in that. Like, yeah, you might have the bumps in the road with certain kids and that, but they all come around to Dirk's side. They all, like...
I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm the old hag that can't get rid of me.
So. To the Dirk side, not the dark side.
Exactly.
Right. Paula, things are going well in softball this spring as well.
Yeah, we have a nice group of girls in that, and they're playing hard, and it's looking good for us in that. So I hope they continue, because if they can just play like we know they can and that, they're going to be hard to beat.
Number one seed, I see.
Yeah, and that's our second year in a row for doing that. So it's, I think we're set up pretty well. We like the home games. It gets long in the season and that when you have to travel a lot. So we're looking forward to these home matches, and it's going to be starting next Tuesday for us. So.
Awesome.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know Paula's also son's connection with softball programs.
Mm-hmm.
And his coaching at the collegiate level, which is pretty phenomenal at Georgia Tech.
Yes.
And what position, what is his job description?
He's an assistant coach there, and he's the hitting coach, so he's...
And they've done well this spring, haven't they?
They made it into the regional tournament in that, but they lost out this last weekend. So it's nice. That's how I get to... He lives in Atlanta, but I get to see him on TV and that whenever they play, so... I know
that's
that
exciting.
He's still kicking.
Yeah. He took what Mama taught him and take it to another level.
Well, I think it's a great story. Paula told me, and I'm like, I use this as an example of how he got his position was just to ask. She said, just ask if you want to try something. Go and ask. And he wanted to, what, play baseball at Iowa. And that didn't pan out. But she said, well, try something else. So didn't he ask to be like, you know, you do tell the story.
Well, he wanted to be in some sports event and that, or something involved in sports. So he went and talked to the football team and that. And they're like, no, we have a full roster with our managers and everything. And he went and talked to the baseball team and they're like, no. And I said, well, softball's similar to baseball and you know a lot about it. Why don't you just go talk to them? So he reached out to that program and they're like, absolutely. So he got on and as a manager, and come to find out, and then that, he never had to buy clothes again. He got all this free apparel because he was treated just like the players, and he got tuition off because he was a manager and that, and every year he got a little bit more tuition off because he got like a scholarship through the sports program just being the manager there. After he graduated from there, he was coaching at NIAC, a Northern Iowa JUCO college. Then he went to NC State. They hired him, just cold called him one day. He didn't even apply. They just... So he went to NC State, and now he's been at Georgia Tech for 2 years. So,
oh, good for him. What
yeah,
a success
story. I love that. Just ask.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
just
that's what I told my kids in that, and I said, always ask the question. I said, they're going to say no to the question, not you, the person. They're going to say no to your question if they're going to do that. Otherwise, you might get a yes sometimes. So yeah. Always ask the question.
Mm-hmm. Put yourself out there.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. You, of course, came from Seneca as a high school player. Do you remember playing on the old Ithaca softball?
I do, and oh that yes. Was a rough field, but...
Oh, it was classic.
It got better.
It got better.
Classic.
But let's turn the clock back a little bit. Peg, you were on the very first Ithaca softball team, weren't you?
I was on the inaugural team. It was 1987, and... we got it passed through the board to have a softball team, and we were kind of the Bad News Bears. We were pretty rough. We didn't even have uniforms, but good old Mr. Pampoo all the did you know, God rest his soul, great guy, had lots of extra uniforms up in the old loft, which is above the old gymnasium, that were from the 1960s. So we got some red and white zip-up uniforms with some hats that didn't have the elastic band around it anymore. Kind of like wearing a handkerchief on your head. And I remember playing a scrimmage game, and I'm not quite sure, but was there a Dahlberg, Dahlberg that used to pitch for Richland Center back in the late 80s?
Of course, yeah.
And didn't they?
Probably Sherry at that time.
Yeah, I remember. It was like my coming to Jesus moment playing softball, was standing at the plate and looking at her and then saying, looking down at the catcher, go, did she just pitch that ball? She was an amazing. Didn't they end up going to state?
They did. Yeah.
She was a phenomenal pitcher. Yep. We were pretty rough, but, and I think our backstop at the old football field in the far corner, Mr. Pampoo would patch it up with old barbecue pits with twist ties. And yeah, it was pretty rough, but it was a lot of fun. Denise handled Linz was our coach, and she put up with us. I think she was just like, well, let's give it a shot, and ended up running at Simon's Complex for years and years.
She did, right. Yeah. So humble beginnings.
Oh, yeah.
Into
good old Ithaca.
In some success, absolutely, this year. And I think one of the key things that I look at is success is numbers. You have good numbers, don't you?
Yeah, we grow a little bit every year in that, and the girls are enjoying themselves, and it's nice to see the ladies at Ithaca and that have success now, and that they're figuring it out. They know what it takes now to be successful in that, and they're working for it. So
I tell the girls too, I'm like, I was sitting next to Paula when the girls won their first regional or first conference championship in volleyball. I'd start crying because I'm like, this is a big deal for these girls. You know, a lot of firsts with this group of girls in the high school, and proud of them and their accomplishments. And it's a very strong senior class. And the junior class, there's only, what, 5 girls in Jaden's class. But boy, they carry a lot of strength. The ones that are there, you know, it's just they're a strong group. The junior and senior class are very strong, good role models for the rest of the school.
Class of 2025 will commence here in what, another week?
June 1st.
June 1st,
yeah,
okay.
On that Sunday, I think 1 o'clock. Yeah, it's one of our last large classes, too. And we've got some really talented group of kids that will be graduating and going on to several different universities, some Madison, some Whitewater. Got a lot of talent.
Good deal. We look forward to that. Circling back around, Paula, anything else you wanted to add about the safety committee and some things that you're looking at here and objectives for the future?
Well, I'd just like to thank our administration and our school board because they allow us, we present something to them or we ask if we can do this in our school, and they're always been 100% supportive of what we ask and how we present it and everything else. So we couldn't do it without their approval because some of the stuff, yeah, we're kind of pushing a little bit of limits on with the high school, middle school students and that, trying some things and that, but the students are just responding wonderfully and they're asking for more exercises and can we try this and can we do this? So it's nice to have the backing of your school.
Do you work on some bus safety as well?
We did. Last year we had a whole day, well, not a whole day, when we did the exercise and that, we went out and we learned where all the first aid kits were and how the rules of the bus, and we did that. And then this year we just kind of seen how many people we could fit on a bus if there was an emergency, and if we have enough buses at our district that we could evacuate in a timely manner, or if we had to maybe call more buses in. So we just kind of, we have to look at every aspect of every situation, and that if just in case.
Yeah, I hope you never use it, right?
Yes, I hope we never have to in that, so.
I remember some years ago when the whole school was evacuated because of a chemical leak. You probably remember that,
yeah,
Peg.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
yeah,
everybody loaded on the buses and
we went
took
over
them,
to Walmart.
Took you to Walmart.
I hung out at Walmart for about 5 hours. Had a couple of them that moms didn't know that there were a Walmart. So we all hung around in the parking lot for a good 4 or 5 hours. It's a warm day, too.
Yeah,
it was.
It was.
89 degrees or something.
As I remember.
Yeah.
Canceled the football game that night,
yeah,
too.
Yep.
So. Yeah, but again, you hope you never use those kind of things, but you're well prepared if you have to.
And that's the big thing, is being prepared. I think when you're prepared, it takes away the anxiety. a lot of these people are anxious about. Well, the more you practice, the more you are, it's just like a fire drill. Nobody, you know, everybody does the same thing because you practice and practice and practice. And even tornado drills, kids don't get anxious about it anymore. So the more you practice these things, the more it takes your anxiety level down because you know and you're informed. And the better you're informed, the better decisions you make.
Summer school's coming up as well fairly soon, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're going to be a week after graduation, I believe so. Not doing it this summer, unfortunately. I have to help my brother out. He told me if he wants me to have new siding on my house, I better be there to help him out. So I had to forego the summer school this year.
Fun summer vacation, siding the house.
Oh, yes. So exciting.
Well, thanks for what you guys do, because I know you're longtime staff members at Ithaca. Anything else either of you'd like to add?
Thank you, WRCO. I think some of our biggest supporters are people that are like you, and the Richland Center community. You know, it's a unique school. I think about it, I'm fifth generation Ithaca, and the pride that community has, but also the partnership we have with people in Richland Center, and how many Ithaca people have branched out and have done so well. I think of all the corners of the world and what you've done to help us and WRCO. So we thank you.
Thanks for saying that. So you can pick out some of your relatives on the pictures down the hall.
Yeah. My grandmother is in the inaugural 1923 graduating class, and she's in the picture in the library. But my mom, here's a little traitorous story. She did not graduate from Ithaca because you couldn't go to UW-Madison. So she actually graduated. She was a Hornet in 1949, but she did spend 2 years at Ithaca. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Class requirements at that time, I suppose, for entry.
Yes, you could not go to the university. It was a union high school. So my mom ended up living with my great-grandparents in Richland Center for her last 2 years. So she's a class of 49 Hornet.
Interesting.
Yes.
My mom was too.
Really?
Graduated the same year.
Oh, well,
how about that?
Compare some notes.
Paula, anything else you wanted to add today?
Just to go off what Peg said too, and that the community is very strong at Ithaca, and I open enroll my own children there, and it's been a great fit for our family in that, and it's just, it is a tight-knit community, and we couldn't do it without some of our community support and that, and it's just nice that people back us and do things that these students need to be successful also.
Great. Here's to a good end of the school year.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks
Hopefully
for
no
in.
Pranks.
Yeah, no pranks.
Please, no pranks. It'll happen.
It happened in the spring of 82. I think that was the last time.
I wonder who was in that class.
Yeah, there were some ruffians. Paula Boland and Peg Durkin joining us here on this portion of the morning show. Earlier, Julie Severance. Again, check out some more information online about the upcoming Ithaca food service program for the summer as well. We'll have more coming up tomorrow on the morning show.
Helping you build a better life. WCCU Credit Union feels so right.
Finding the right loan is just as important as finding the right vehicle. At WCCU Credit Union, we help you look beyond the monthly payment to help you understand the entire cost, including insurance, interest, and warranties. Whether you're purchasing from a dealer or a private party, WCCU offers you better solutions with affordable loans from local people you know and trust. And with our AutoSmart program, we can give you access to dealer inventories and even pre-approve your loan. For more details, contact any of our offices or visit us online at wccu.coop. WCCU is federally insured by NCUA.
Helping you build a better life. WCCU Credit Union feels so right.
At A&W in Boscobel, they know what it takes to make a bacon cheeseburger. After all, they invented it back in 1963. This mouthwatering classic features a 1/3-pound double burger made with 100% U.S. beef, topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. Guests can make it a combo with delicious sides like cheese curds, coney dogs, or onion rings, and top it all off with a frosty mug of fresh-made A&W root beer. Located right on Highway 61 in Boscobel, A&W is still serving up the signature flavor and small-town charm, one burger at a time.
Thanks to our guests from Ithaca for being along here today on WRCO. A rainy day in southwest Wisconsin. 1 inch and 35 100th so far in the rain gauge, and it continues. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about Memorial Day celebrations and recognitions coming up, trying to encourage some people to be a part of the Memorial Day parade here in Richland Center. We also have some programs coming up concerning Mental Health Month, and we'll also talk a little bit about some more history about Casanova a little bit later on this week. Jeff Even will be in with us on Friday. And lots of other topics that will pop up in the meantime. We love to promote the community here on The Morning Show from WRCO.
Does your job offer 6 weeks of paid time off in the first year? Rockwell Automation does. How about a $2,500 sign-on bonus? Yep, they've got that too. Add in a 401k with company match, paid parental leave, tuition reimbursement, and more. First shift starts at over $22 an hour, second shift over $24, and it's not your typical manufacturing job. It's Rockwell Automation in Richland Center. Apply at rockwellautomation.com/careers or stop in for walk-in Wednesdays 10 to 4. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity and where they meet you.
Good oral health leads to better overall health. Brush twice a day, floss regularly, and don't forget to see your dentist. At Village Family Dental, we have a full-time certified orthodontist ready to care for your smile. Schedule your appointment today for a regular checkup, cleaning, or a free orthodontic exam. Prevent bacteria from entering your bloodstream and causing other health issues. Keep your mouth healthy with Village Family Dental and Orthodontics in Spring Green. Call now to make an appointment. Your health starts with your smile.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities.